You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Cole Thompson.
College football season is right around the corner, and every single year you want to get caught up on every single team. And you can do so when you read the 2021 yearbook of College Football America. And we go out to the Progressive Hotline right now to be joined by Matthew Postens, part of Fan Nation, part of one of the authors of the College Football America 2021 yearbook. Matt, how are you on this glorious 5 a.m. wake-up call?
Hey, I'm good, Cole. How are you?
I am doing just great. I am finding a way to make it through these early hours. And again, no matter what time you're on, it's always game time right here on Just Saying It. Matt, I read through the yearbook. I think it's a fabulous job. You and the staff have done an amazing amount of work. Go check it out. You can download it. You can buy it off of Amazon. It is a really, really stellar overall trip. But the first thing I noticed about this yearbook, more than anything else, was your Heisman Trophy pick. I thought that that was very interesting. And I'm going to ask you right now, you're going to have to sell me on why Brock Purdy is going to win the Heisman in 2021.
Well, I think they've got all the tools necessary for him to do that. I mean, you've got a good running game that'll keep defenses honest, keep them from stacking six, seven defensive backs in the backfield and try to stop the passing game. They've got solid wide receivers. They've got Charlie Kolar, the tight end. They've got one of the most experienced offenses in the country. And, that's part of it, goes into COVID with, some of the players who have extra years of eligibility actually coming back for an extra season. It allows them to remain a little bit more experienced. I like the continuity on that offense. I just like him as a player too. I think he's a very steady quarterback. He knows how to get the football down the field. He knows how to read defenses. He knows how to avoid mistakes. I know a lot of folks are going to look at that end of the game of the Big 12 championship game and the interception that he threw, but they were also trying to win the game in the final second. So I can cut him a little bit of slack to that. I think they're going to be a really productive offense. I think they're going to be one of the two best teams in the Big 12. And I think, when you get down to November, the great thing about their schedule set up is they get Oklahoma late in the season. So they get an opportunity to put one of those, marquee games up on the board, so to speak. And if they can beat Oklahoma again in the regular season for the second straight year, I think they're going to do it because Brock Purdy has a great game.
And I do look at this overall Iowa State Cyclones team, and you and I both were at Big 12 Media Days, and we talked to Matt Campbell. He said that all the players were buying into coming back because it was a five-star culture, not a five-star talent system. But that five-star culture was going to help them win. And you do mention that a little bit with Breece Hall. He is your Doak Walker Award winner. And I could see where you come with that. The guy is coming off of his biggest year, led the FBS in rushing yards. But there is another running back in the Big 12 by the name of Bijan Robinson, a Heisman hopeful, and a name slowly making his overall mark on the rise in the national spotlight. When you look at these two running backs, what is the difference between Bijan's game and Breece's game that maybe gives Breece a little bit of an edge going into 2021?
Well, I think, first of all, you don't entirely know how Texas's offense is going to be configured. There's still a little bit of an unknown there. I mean, we can look at Alabama and the way that Steve Sarkisian called the offense there. But now that this is going to be his offensive construct and his own program, I think we all make the assumption that he's going to spotlight Bijan, and he should, because Bijan's obviously a very talented, very, to me, a very powerful running back who can really move the chain, so to speak. But part of the unknown for me is, how are you going to use him? How much are you going to spotlight him? I think he's a guy that can handle a ball like Breece Hall with 20 carries a game and really help you from the standpoint of moving the chains and keeping defenses honest. I think Hall's a little bit quicker to cut. I think he's a little bit quicker to get to the edge. I think he can make guys miss a bit more. I think some of that is speed. I think some of that is experience. I think Bijan Robinson could be where Breece Hall is next year. I just don't think the progress in his game is quite there just yet.
So let's go ahead and talk about this real fast. There is the college football playoff expansion that comes in a few years. I would love to see it this year because if there is a team that isn't being mentioned as a non-Power 5 school that I think would be really interesting to see how they perform, especially after what they looked like last year, and that was Kent State. Kent State had the number one passing offense and the number one scoring offense in the nation last year, led by Dustin Crum. You have them as your MAC winners. If there was a college football playoff that was 12 teams, and let's just say that we included Cincinnati as the group of five winner, do you still think that there could be a conversation for maybe Kent State to be in that realm of maybe a 12 seed of the college football playoff?
I think it'd be really hard. And I like Kent State as a team. I saw them a couple of years ago at the Frisco Bowl. And, you know, I was really sold on what Sean Lewis is doing there as the head coach. I mean, you could just kind of see it. And I'd seen Kent State a few years before that. Before they made the coaching change, and they just weren't cohesive as a program. You could just tell by the way those players were playing. But, you know, now with Sean Lewis as the head coach, they've made a lot of progress just in having a program with a lot of continuity, a lot of quality guys. Like you said, we talked about Iowa State and their five-star culture. You know, they've got a culture now at Kent State, and those players have bought into it. I think with the schedule that the MAC plays, I think it'd be really difficult. I think Kent State would have to go undefeated. And frankly, I think Cincinnati's going to have to go undefeated to even have consideration this year in a four-team format. I think for some schools and some conferences, an expanded playoff is really going to benefit them. I think for other conferences, I think it's going to be it's going to be a difficult sell. And the MAC is one of them because, you know, they really only get to play one or two, you know, if they're lucky, one or two high-quality games against Power 5 teams every year because of the way they schedule. But if you catch the right team at the right time, that sort of thing can happen. But I don't think with Kent, they're good, but I don't think they're quite that good this year.
Matthew Poston's from the College Football America Yearbook 2021. You can find him on Twitter at Poston's Post. Really, really good insight. This is a great novel. This is a great read for anybody out there. Poston's Postcard. My bad, Matt. I want to get your thoughts on this. We've talked about this off air. We've talked about this before. The Big 12 is either going to dissolve or they're going to merge with someone else because of Texas and Oklahoma. When you look at how the Big 12 could go, Pac-12, all eight teams go this way. They dissolve. Maybe four teams go the Pac-12, two teams go the ACC, two teams go the AAC. Is there a right plan of option for these other programs now that Oklahoma and Texas are leaving for greener pastures?
I don't know if there's the best plan, to be honest. It's we've been writing a lot about it at the Big 12 side. I write for HeartlandCollegeSports.com. We've been writing about a lot of different scenarios. You know, certainly after the Pac-12 meeting on Monday, we wrote a few articles on scenarios, you know, related to, you know, whether they should merge. And I wrote, if they merge into a 20-team conference, it's actually pretty simple. You know, you take Colorado and Utah and you move them into a division with the other eight Big 12 teams. And then the other 10 teams are in the other Pac-12. They're in the other division. They've talked about a scheduling alliance, and that could potentially work. But I think you'd have to play most of your games against one another to make that work. Any path they go down, you have to think about the money, because that's why Texas and Oklahoma are leaving. I know it sounds dumb because they're two of the 10 richest athletic programs in the country, but part of this move is about money, and it's about providing yourself as much revenue as possible to take care of your athletic program. Whatever path they go down, to me, it has to be the path that is going to be the most beneficial to their membership, financially speaking, if they stay together. If they stay apart, you know, if a team like Kansas, for instance, goes to the Big Ten, or a team like West Virginia goes to the ACC, it's going to be about, you know, knowing that they're potentially looking at a very similar payday to what they're getting now from the Big 12. And I think the rev share now in the Big 12 is about $37-38 million. So what you're trying to do if you're these eight teams is you're trying to stay as close to that payday as you can without Texas and Oklahoma. And doing that may necessitate some of them peeling off and going their own way.
I mean, that's true. And, I mean, you do realize that if you stay together, you actually benefit from it. If the Big 12 stays together, they get an extra payday at the end of the year, which is huge for them. But at that point, you would then have to worry about college football expansion in the sense of realignment in the Big 12 because you can't have an 8-team conference and call yourself a Power 5. So if you were looking at it from that perspective, and say the Big 12 were to stay together, who are some teams that you think would actually make sense and really provide several bit of competition in the Big 12 that could make that jump over from maybe a non-Power 5 school into the Power 5 conversation?
Well, if you're talking about teams staying together and adding teams, you know, we've written about a few. Cincinnati's one that makes a good deal of sense. I think BYU makes some sense just because they're in a top 30 media market and they've got a national following. It's not on the level of a Notre Dame or a Texas, but they've got a national following nonetheless. One school I haven't done a piece on yet that I'm going to do one on is Colorado State, just because, again, there's a big media market there to be had if you're thinking about trying to put together the best possible television deal. Houston makes a lot of sense, too, because they're in the state of Texas. They're a top-five media market. They've played at that level before in the 80s in the Southwest Conference. So, you know, there's some good options there, but I think you have to decide if you want to be, you know, the type of conference you are now in terms of your alignment, you know, in the middle of the country, or if you want to start, you know, grabbing teams like Central Florida or South Florida, who makes sense from a media market standpoint. And that's, I think that's what's going to drive a lot of this for the Big 12, is because they're trying to, you know, emulate the type of revenue share they're getting now from a television standpoint. They're going to be looking at teams and big media markets who can bring them eyeballs from a television set standpoint and can justify, you know, asking for, you know, the type of contract that they're getting now from ESPN.
Matt, we got about a minute left. I want to get your thoughts on this. There's always a few teams mentioned here or there that could be really good, could be bad. We don't really know. But the reason we don't know is because nobody is talking about them. Who is your underrated team that people should be paying attention to right now going into August for the start of week one in September?
You know what? Louisiana in the Sun Belt is a team that, you know, nationally it's not getting a lot of discussion. You know, within the Sun Belt, a lot of people know who they are. You know, they've been overshadowed a bit by Coastal Carolina and the way that they played last year, you know, going undefeated, I think, in the regular season and, you know, getting a little, you know, little play for the college football playoff here and there. But, you know, Louisiana was the team that they were, I think they were supposed to play them in the Sun Belt Conference Championship game before it was canceled. And Louisiana is kind of like Iowa State on a slightly smaller scale, in that they've got a lot of really good players coming back this year who might not have come back otherwise due to COVID. And they could not only make some noise in the Sun Belt in terms of maybe coming out of that conference as a champion, but, you know, maybe be one of those teams that by November we're looking at as being undefeated and kind of being that sort of darling that Coastal Carolina was last year.
College Football America 2021 yearbook. It is a great insight. They break down everything you need to know from the FBS level to the FCS level. They even got junior college. I love this book. I have read through most of it last night. I cannot wait to continue to dive into this. Matthew Poston's Postcard. You can find him on Twitter right there. He also works for Fan Nation, covering multiple teams, including Texas and Dallas Cowboys. Great insight. Great talking to you, bud.
Hey, thanks, Cole. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Just saying it. We'll close out the show after this.